Hello and welcome to the Health Innovation Network podcast, Health Innovation Works. My name is Richard Stubbs. I'm Chief Executive of Health Innovation Yorkshire and Humber, and I'm also the Chair of the Health Innovation Network, formerly known as the HSN Network. In this series, we are speaking to health and policy experts to discuss the vital role that innovation plays in tackling some of the NHS's biggest challenges and what we could all be doing to help innovation to go further and faster. On today's episode, we welcome Professor Bola Oluwabi, Director of the National Healthcare Inequalities Improvement Programme at NHS England. Bola, welcome.
Richard, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, you and I know each other really well, but I would love you, if you don't mind, just to start by telling us a little bit about your career and your current role at NHS England.
So I'm a GP. I do still practice clinically. I'm a GP by trade. I usually can still be found in the little village of Cresswell in northeast Derbyshire. And I have had a varied tapestry of a career, always with the GP element in the middle, but doing various other things. I've been clinical commissioner for children, young people and maternity. Been system lead for end of life, system lead for frailty. I was national specialty advisor to NHS England for older people and integrated person-centered care, and arrived in my current role as director for the National Healthcare Inequalities Improvement Programme in January 2021, right at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic.
And so tell us about that role. I mean, health inequalities gets discussed a lot. Obviously, it's incredibly important, but what do we mean when we talk about health inequalities, and how does that play out in healthcare at the moment across the country?
The great question, Richard. The first thing to say is that health inequalities absolutely predate the COVID-19 pandemic. I think there's always a danger that sometimes when we use the pandemic as the watermark, there's a fallacy that comes from that, which is the pandemic caused health inequalities. It did not. What it did do was it highlighted pre-existing health inequalities. It exacerbated them and it forced them into our consciousness, is what I would say. And so in terms of how those health inequalities show up, we know that in the healthcare system, if you are a homeless man, then your life expectancy is just 43. If you have a learning disability and you're from an ethnic minority background, then your life expectancy is just 34. And the Embrace report have told us that Black women are 4 times more likely to die in childbirth or the year following delivery compared to their white counterparts. And we know that people with severe mental illness, regardless of race or ethnicity, they have a 10 to 15 year life expectancy gap compared to the rest of the population. And finally, if you are from what we call the bottom quintile, that's the 20% poorest communities, then you're more likely to have your cancer diagnosed at a later stage than people from more affluent areas. Then you're more so health inequalities shows up in the healthcare system in terms of access to healthcare, then people's experience of healthcare and their outcome. And I'm making that distinction because oftentimes when we talk about health inequalities, there's a tendency to want to focus mainly on the social determinants, housing, education, household income, which are very important. But the reality is the NHS as a lone actor can't shift the dial on those big societal drivers. But what we can absolutely do is shift the needle in the right direction on healthcare inequalities. And that's where we focus most of our energy.
Thanks, Bola. That's a very sobering but brilliant summary. I mean, just explain, I think for our audience, just a little bit about Core 20 plus 5 and how that is an overarching strategy for how we focus our efforts in terms of our healthcare delivery system.
So let me explain what Core 20 plus 5 is not. It's not a silver bullet. It's not a panacea. It's not even a strategy, and it most definitely is not the entire answer to health inequalities. But what Core 20 plus 5 is, it's an excuse remover, because it tells us exactly what we need to do, and it's a place to start. That's the thing that people said to me a lot when I first started in this role, is that health inequalities are so complex that people sometimes are overwhelmed about what to do. And interestingly, we worked with the Yorkshire and Humber Academic Health Science Network as it was. So your AHSN, Richard, now the Health Innovation Network, who supported us with some really great focus group meetings. And actually, the Core 20 plus 5 model emerged from some of those conversations, because people were saying what we need really is to focus our energy and resources, because that's the way we're going to gain traction on this complex issue. And that's the way we're going to be able to demonstrate impact in a reasonable time frame. So actually, Core 20 plus 5 is about focus, traction, impact.
Yeah.
And it gives, I mean, I can talk a little bit more about the components of it and which part of the system it's aimed at. But in a nutshell, that's what Core 20 plus 5 is not, and what it is. And very happy to talk a little bit more about the detail of it.
No, wonderful. I'm sure something that will come up in our conversation. I mean, we love excuse removers in the Health Innovation Network. You know, a lot of our job is about getting people to be braver, doing things differently tomorrow than they are doing today. And so, yeah, that really resonates, I think, with some of our work. So you talked about the inequalities within healthcare, you know, access, experience and outcomes. What's working well? You know, what are the green shoots that we're able to point to say, here's where places in the country really get this and are making a huge difference in terms of health inequalities?
I love that question, because I really believe in building from strength. The issue with health inequalities is the conversation can be so deficit, and that's draining. So what's working well? Yorkshire and Humber Health Innovation Network have three Innovation for Health Inequalities Improvement projects. We call them INHIP. And some of those have broadened access to high blood pressure testing for communities that will otherwise not come forward. Also tackling severe asthma in children and young people. And for people who are familiar with Core 20 plus 5, you'll know that asthma is one of the clinical areas in Core 20 plus 5 for children and young people, and that cardiovascular disease prevention is one of the areas in the adult version. So it's wonderful that through the vehicle of the Innovation for Health Inequalities program, INHIP, we have the HINs already taking the leadership here. If you then look at the Health Innovation Network in Manchester, and the work that they're doing, again, in terms of pediatric asthma and reducing emergency admissions by increasing access to pheno testing. So that's the nitrous oxide testing. That's another great example of this is what it means when innovation steps into the space of addressing health inequalities. If I go again to the Health Innovation Network in Manchester and the work they did on increasing uptake of inclisiran, which is a lipid-lowering therapy, especially in our Black African and Caribbean communities who have a very high incidence and prevalence of cardiovascular disease. But when you looked at the CVD audit, had much lower uptake of inclisiran and other CVD modifying drugs. So for me, those examples absolutely speak to the fact that health inequalities is a tractable challenge, and people are already doing great work to address it through the health innovation networks.
No, thank you for those examples. Obviously, you know, great to hear Yorkshire and managed to reference them. And there's fantastic work with NHIP all over the country. We're really
absolutely
proud of NHIP as one of our flagship programs in the Health Innovation Network. I think one of the things that struck me about both this conversation and our previous conversations over the last few years is that health inequalities can't be a program in itself. It has to be the way that we do our business as healthcare professionals. And I'm really struck by often innovation that comes to our consciousness through our horizon scanning and other types of pipeline work might not necessarily have been designed with healthcare inequalities at the heart of its primary purpose or ambition. But actually, when you look under the bonnet, you find that actually there's that kind of secondary benefit piece around health inequalities, which sometimes even the innovator may not be cognizant of. So I think there's something for me about how do we recognize the health inequality bonus in all the work that we do, as well as work that we do that is absolutely directed exclusively towards a health inequality challenge. I mean, I wonder if you've got any examples of where wider beneficial work also addresses people's ambitions towards reducing healthcare inequalities in their particular regions.
Absolutely. So, yes, it's true that the way we're going to really make progress in reducing health inequalities is for it to be not a program over there, but the way we do business. It needs to be business as usual. So just completely agree with that. And in reflecting on that question, I'm thinking about the annual health inequalities conference that we run in collaboration with the Royal Society of Medicine. And this year's conference was focused on innovation and entrepreneurship. And we had the opportunity of Stuart Monk joining us from the Health Innovation Network. And what came through in that conference is the dimensions that people driving forward work within the innovation space can consider to make sure that they've intentionally and proactively thought about health inequalities in their work in a hardwired way. So we talked about thinking about innovation, not just in terms of products, but thinking about it in terms of pathways, the way services are configured, the way we think about our clinical pathways, especially as we're now, you know, on a digital footprint because of the pandemic. A great example will be a project called Respond in London, where essentially they were trying to look at issues in terms of A&E usage, urgent and emergency care pathway demand. And they stood up Respond, which effectively looks after asylum seekers and refugees. And what that has done is to provide an integrated care model, you know, for people who find themselves in this position of being refugees or asylum seekers. And that Respond integrated care model has not only improved the health care of a very vulnerable population group, it's also improving the concerns by the trust in terms of high demand on its urgent and emergency care pathway, as an example. The other thing is, if you look at Thurrock and Basildon NHS Foundation Trust, their patient experience report was showing that people with sickle cell were reporting, particularly in pediatrics, were reporting that they were struggling with access. They were having to travel all the way to Royal Free to access care, and they reconfigured their pediatric sickle cell pathway to the point where they actually won the last HSJ Health Inequalities Improvement Award based on the dramatic improvement in patient access and experience from doing that work. And finally, another example that I just want to call out is Birmingham Women and Children in association with the Children's Alliance. They realized that children who were not being brought for their outpatient appointment were predominantly from what we call the core 20 plus population group, so the most disadvantaged group. And they put in some innovative approaches, including transportation support. They improved access for those children and reduced their was not brought rate by 50%. So I say, tackling health inequalities, hardwiring it, is win-win for the patient and the NHS every time.
Brilliant. Thanks, Paula. And I mean, just time for one last question. I mean, those are some fantastic examples. I mean, so if anybody listening to this who's thinking about innovating in this area, you know, that really understood the challenge around healthcare inequalities and feel passionate about it, do you have any advice for any innovators out there who really want to make a difference?
Absolutely. First of all, I would congratulate you for caring about health inequalities as an innovator. That's a great place to start. I will then say, whatever the particular area you're looking at, find the people. Find the people who are experiencing that particular health inequality and talk to them about what would be useful to them so that the innovation you're going to design is actually grounded in people's reality. The second thing I will then say is co-design it with them. See them as your biggest allies. Co-design with them. And as you begin the phase of rollout, use them as your real life testers, because it just means that by the time you get to the final product, it's authentic, it's credible, and actually it's more likely to land well. And that makes sense on many levels. It makes sense on a human level. It makes sense from a business point of view, because the best businesses are the ones who understand what their customers need. So actually doing that work shouldn't be seen as an unnecessary inconvenience. It should be seen as a business imperative, you know, as an innovator. So that's what I would say. And if I've got a moment, Richard, to maybe zone out a little bit from the individual innovator and think about more broadly as an innovation ecosystem, how do we build an equitable health innovation ecosystem? It includes being inclusive by design, thinking about equitable access at the start, looking at the product pipeline, what is missing from that product pipeline, looking at our grant making processes, who is included, who is not, looking at diversity of the innovators themselves, and thinking beyond the box of innovative products and thinking increasingly about innovative approaches of how we reach those at the margins. And that is what the Innovation for Health Inequalities program that the HRNs are driving forward so wonderfully well.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. What wonderful, valuable tips there. And your last point there about diversity in innovation, I couldn't agree more. And you'll know, obviously, that you know, I'm personally very proud of some of the work we've driven. We could talk about this for hours, and I've had a fascinating 20 minutes or so. So, Paula, thank you so much for your time. I know you're incredibly busy, both clinically and your hugely important leadership role across the country. So thank you so much for finding the time to speak to us today. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with future episodes. Love to now. Goodbye.